Sister Grace is coming up to Longdown, no? You are on holiday.
Holiday, yeah.
We missed you here.
Huh?
We missed you, I said. Okay. Shall we stand? Hello. Let's close our eyes and be before the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Here we are, Abba Father, in your holy presence, in this appointed place, at this appointed time, to listen to you, Lord, what you have to reveal to us through this book of Revelation. Sweet loving Jesus, it's your blood that cleanses us always. It's your blood that protects us as you sprinkle our most precious blood upon this place, Lord. Upon everyone who are gathered here, Lord. And especially upon, and also upon the team who has gone for the Konkani drama, Lord God. Wherever they are, Lord, let your protection be upon them. Let your blood be upon them, Lord. And sweet Holy Spirit, this is your time. This is your class. You are the one who's teaching us, Lord. For we know nothing. And you alone can inspire us, Lord. You alone can teach us, Lord. Help our hearts to be open, Lord. Help our minds to be open, Lord. So that you may penetrate into us your truth. The truth that changes lives, Lord. Help us to be receptive, O Lord God, to what you are going to teach us, Lord. And not only hear your word, Lord, but to implement it, to do it in our lives. Mother Mary, continue to be with us as always. For without you, we are incomplete. Bless us, protect us, pray for us, and keep us under your mantle of blue, now and always, in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We welcome in our midst today,
Dorothy.
Yeah. Who is going to be here only for one session, of course, then she goes back to India.
Yeah.
But we welcome you, and we are honored to have you here. We continue with the book of Revelation. Last week, John was describing how the great vision of Jesus coming down from the clouds gave them all hope. We have also seen that the same vision has been implemented or taken together in many books of the New Testament. This is such a beautiful vision because this is the only hope that we, the persecuted children, Christians, have. Jesus coming with his power, not as a crucified lamb, but with power and authority to take his children, that is we, who have been waiting patiently for his coming. For those of us who trust in him, it's a joyful occasion. This occasion when he will come down from the heavens in the clouds to take us all up to him permanently and eternally. But for those who have persecuted him and who have not asked, implored of his mercy and who are still sinning against him, and through sin we still persecute him, this day will be a day of terror, a dread. It is on this day that every tongue will confess and every knee bow down to the real and true God, whom until that time the devil will not reveal. Everybody says my religion is the right one, but on that day everybody will know whose religion is right and who is the Lord of Lords and the God of Gods. Okay, when our Jesus comes down. This is what we learned last time. Okay. Now this time we read through chapter 1, verse 9. Chapter 1, verse 9. It says, I, John, your brother, who share with you in verse 9. Chapter 1, verse 9. I, John, your brother, and your brother who share with you in Jesus the persecution and the kingdom and the patient endurance, was on the island called Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. This is the verse from which John is now starting his revelation. Until this time, he was greeting the church, telling them whom this greeting comes from, that is from God our Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. We saw in depth what these greetings meant for people at that time. Now he's starting. In one translation it says, I, John, your brother and partner in tribulation. Now here John is not introducing himself with any titles. Okay? Now he's not introducing himself with any servant of God or things like that right now. But he says, he has already done that in the past, in the first of this thing. But in this he says, he starts with, I, your brother, your partner in tribulation. To understand, now we should not forget that at that time the church was persecuted. Yeah, the church was persecuted. John is writing from exile because he is also involved in the effects of persecution. He is writing to the seven churches from Patmos, the island called Patmos, which we will see later on. So what he's saying is, I am writing to you as a fellow brother, as a brother who has been charged, as a brother who has been persecuted like you. I am not giving you talks, reading from the Old Testament or something like that, but I am also suffering the same way as you suffer. And that is why his letters have weight. When somebody is in the same boat as you. Now, for example, to give an example, I understand very clearly when a person loses his job. I understand that the turmoils that you go through when a person loses his job, because I lost my job at one stage. And for 3 months, I was in desperation. Yeah. So I understand what happens to a person who has lost his job, and what happens to during that time of, you know, what do you call that?
Anxiety.
Anxious moments. What is the correct, right word?
Frustration.
No. People suffer from that disease, no? Depression. I was under depression for 3 months. I went to the heights of everything. That is why today I can relate to people who have lost their jobs. I can relate to people who are depressed, because I have gone through that. I know what it is. And hence, like, you know, I'm not giving a talk to, like, you know, say, okay, depression, you know, this is a medicine. No, this is the way. No, because I have gone through it. So I can relate more than somebody who has not gone through it. I have lost a job. Hence, I can relate more to a person who has lost a job, to give them hope. Because at that time, people gave me hope. And then eventually, God took care of me. Until today, He's taking care of me. So that is why at this time, John has got the authority, the right to write this letter, because he is a persecuted child of God. He's a persecuted Christian along with his brothers. That is what he's trying to tell them. And they are, because when John says, okay, I'm writing to them, everybody's excited, because they know that John was a part of them, right? That is why he's writing to his churches. There has been a similar experience in Ezekiel chapter 3 verse 15, where Ezekiel writes in his book, okay, then I came to the exiles at Tel Aviv, who dwelt by the river Chebar, and I sat there overwhelmed among them. He had the authority to write that book of his, at that instance of his, because he was one of them who were overwhelmed, being their partner. Okay. Now, one example comes to me is, you know, when you have these unions in the banks and the companies in India. A person who is in that union, in that particular thing, has got a right to speak, because he's a part of that union. But an outsider cannot speak, because he's not a part of the union. Those who are in unity they can speak. You know, they've got authority to speak, they've got right to speak, and they know what they're speaking. So it is in just other terms is what John is trying to tell. Now, so he's trying to tell people that that by right he has got the authority to speak, because he's one of them who's persecuted and is suffering the same. Okay, fine. Now that is agreeable and the people will understand it. Now what he says, he puts three words together here: persecution, kingdom, and patient endurance. The three words he puts together: persecution, kingdom, and patient endurance. Translations sometimes do not give you the depth of the meaning of the words. Unless, that's why you have to go to the Greek part of it, the real meaning of the Greek word which is used. Now that's why I have to go through the Greek words. Okay. Originally, tribulation, you know, we call it tribulation. The Greek word is thlipsis, that is thlipsis. It's a word in Greek called thlipsis. Now this word thlipsis at that time meant a pressure. A pressure coming from the outside. Now what example can you give of that? Take an example, a stone hurting you, putting a pressure on you, that is called thlipsis in Greek. And literally they were using it for that type of, you know, somebody is pushing pressure on you, you are being disabled. It is used for that word, thlipsis. But in the New Testament, this word got another meaning. In the New Testament, this word is used for persecution, hard times, you know, that when you are being persecuted, your life is at stake. That word is thlipsis, is used in the New Testament for that, for this type of persecution. Not that pressure which they used to, the word is actually demonstrated for. But now in this time and era, it is used for that persecution. You know, the real the agony that comes when people are, now our greatest example is our father who is released. How much persecution he must have gone through. Thlipsis. How much of persecution. Only he will know, and perhaps one day he will tell us also. Okay. The second word he uses is thlipsis is finished. Steadfast endurance. Okay, steadfast endurance, which word is hupomone, hupomone in Greek. Now, steadfast endurance. See the description of hupomone in English is given steadfast endurance, which is not actually giving you what it really is. Now, hupomone is a word in Greek where it is not just, you know, okay, you are persecuting me, I will take it. You know, it's not a passive taking of things which is happening. No, it is an emotion or a way that you take that pressure, but you are not giving it. You are not giving up. You are taking that pressure, but you know that one day you are going to, if I forbear it, if I take if I bear it, I will get something. I'm not saying chalo, I'm not lifting my hand and saying okay, do with me what you want. No, I'm giving up. No, it's not a giving up. This thing, endurance, but it is a steadfast endurance that comes like with a hope. Okay, I'm going to endure it for something. I know that after this persecution, I'm going to get something. My Lord is not going to leave me. So that is the type of endurance that John is talking about here, a steadfast endurance, an endurance that will not stop, an endurance that builds up hope, an endurance that will never give up. Come what may, you're persecuting me more, okay, don't worry, persecute me more, but I am not going to give up, because I know that after the end of this persecution, I am going to be raised up. They had that hope. Now what is the, between tribulation and steadfast endurance, there is a word called kingdom. Okay, now they were persecuted, they had steadfast endurance, that means not giving up. For what reason? For that kingdom. Because God had promised them that kingdom. So this is the way they went through the persecutions, they went through the trials, they went through everything without giving up, without submitting to anything, and you know, steadfast endurance only for that kingdom. And that, what does the kingdom say? We're looking for, and the kingdom in Greek is basileia. B-A-S-I-L-E-I-A. Is basileia is the Greek word for the kingdom. So when you have thlipsis, which is the tribulation, you are going through hupomone, which is the steadfast endurance for the for acquiring basileia, for acquiring the kingdom. Now, this is not only the only scenario for it. Now, in Matthew 24, chapter 24, verse 13, Jesus also said, "He who endures to the end will be saved." Jesus said that in Matthew 24, 13, "He who endures to the end will be saved." Paul also in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 14, verse 22, he says, "Through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. Through many tribulations, lapses, we must enter the kingdom of God." And there's another example in 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy 2, verse 12. "If we endure, we shall also reign with him." If we endure, we shall also reign with him. Now, if this was true at that time, you think it's going to be false at this time? No, it continues. The Bible is always alive because it is you can use it from generation 1 until generation Z. Okay, till the end, the Bible is alive. Bible it commutes to all types of generations from A to Z. Okay, that is what even today, if you are persecuted especially for the sake of religion, okay, and if you bear it with that forbearance, without that giving up nature, you are going to acquire the kingdom of heaven. Jesus' words given to us by John, and which has been also in the Old Testament. Okay, so are we persecuted in any way today? Or if we are in the future, maybe today we are not persecuted, but tomorrow when we go back to our countries, okay, we may have this persecution. So this verse of John should come alive to us. Because if they have done it, and this persecution is also linked, you know, this way of endurance is linked to, it says, see, Jesus, with you, who shared with you in Jesus, the persecution and kingdom. It says, "I, John, your brother, who shares with you in Jesus the persecution and the kingdom and the patient endurance, was on the island called Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus." You can have this patient endurance only by the power of Jesus, because Jesus himself showed us what patient endurance was. He did not give up. He went through. He was persecuted. He was whipped. He was put the crown of thorns. He had a cross on that, but he did not give up. He went till the end, and then what did he get? He rose up on the third day, and he got the crown of glory. That's why he is our Lord and Master, and we are waiting for him for the third day. And if we call ourselves Christians, we are supposed to do exactly what that. There is no other shortcut in that. No other. Yeah. So we don't know what tomorrow holds for us. Did Father Tom know when he was doing his missionary jobs that he would be attacked, he would be kidnapped, had his partners, his nuns, and this would be killed in front of him? He didn't know that till that happened to him. And we don't know what's in store for us. But one thing we know, that whatever it may be, right, we follow Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is with us. And this, all these things, tribulations will come, but with steadfast endurance, we are going to aim at the kingdom of God. And that's the promise. That's why when last week they said, Jesus will come down from the clouds to the earth to take us all up. That all the tribulations, trials will finish. All the pain will be over when he comes to take us up. And that's the end of the time. Beginning of a new eternal generation. Okay. Now let's go and continue what he says. Now he says, "I was in the island of Patmos." Same verse. It is, it's a continuation. Yeah, same verse. Nine only. It's in nine only. Now, the history of John is that John was put into Patmos around the year 94 AD. He was put for 14 years after Nero's reign. And he was put during the time of Domitian. The emperor called Domitian, he was put in that time. And he was released, you know, he got chance to be released in the year 95, 2 years later, when Domitian, the emperor, died. That's the time he was released from Patmos. That is the history of it. Now Patmos is an island. Okay, it's a barren island, rocky island. Okay, and along with many other islands, which are called what? The islands are called sporades. That group of islands are called sporades. It's a group of islands, and Patmos is one of them. A very barren island with nothing much on it, and its shape is like a crescent. You know, crescent moon is like that. The shape is like a crescent with two horns, and these horns point to the east. Okay, it's about how many 5 miles off. It's about 5 miles off Asia Minor. No, it lies about 40 miles off Asia Minor. 40 miles from Asia Minor is where it lies, and its length is 10 miles and its breadth is 5 miles. You see, 10?
Very small.
Very small. That island is called Patmos. And on, now, it was a very important island because it is a natural harbor. You know, that shape of it makes it a natural harbor. And then, the other thing is what? It is an important place because from Rome to Ephesus, that is the last port. From Rome to Ephesus is the last port, and from Ephesus to Rome is the first port. So that's why it has got very much of importance, this island called Patmos. Now, on this island, there were people, political prisoners were put in that island. Whenever they have this political disruption, a party takes over, all these people who are against the political party were put there. You know, in Hindi we call it Tadipar or something, isn't it?
Yeah.
So that is some, like what it is. Now, the life for the prisoners who were political was not so bad there, because there were worse punishments that could be given to prisoners elsewhere. So the political prisoners, what would they be put there? They would lose their rights. So they would lose their civil rights, and they would lose everything that they owned, except a small portion they would give them when, in case they are released back to stay back. But everything else would be taken away from them. That was what they would lose. But while they were in prison there, they were not tortured. They were given freedom. They were not even in a cell. They were allowed to move, you know, a little bit. My island is small. They were given certain places to move about. So they were not tortured. They were given their food. They were given a place to move about, and all that thing, because they were political prisoners. They only lost their rights. But for John, it was a different story. John is considered by them as a criminal because he was in charge of the Christians. He was the leader of the Christians, and Christians were at that time noted as criminals. Okay, they were charged as criminals. So John's, punishment there was completely different. First of all, they say that they were quite surprised that John was not killed immediately, right? Because a religious leader, you know, could have been executed immediately, but they didn't do that. But he had to go through persecutions very, very much. There was constant whipping him. He barely had clothes on. He had just this thing. He had to sleep half, almost naked. He had to sleep on the ground floor, on the floor, hard floor. Hardly anything to eat, right? And he was tortured, and he was put in a prison cell, governed by a man who from the political party. So his punishment was
severe.
Disastrous punishment, because he was considered as a criminal, as all Christians were considered. Compared to the others who were politically there, political assignments, but these, they were enjoying their life, not enjoying, but they had a much better life than what John had. So in such a way, John's life was in Patmos. Now even today it seems, when you go for that tour there, they show you from one place the Patmos island. The cave, they show that cave where John was actually there and where the revelation was written. Right? It seems that even at this moment, it's a tourist spot where they show you this is where John was and this is where the revelation was written. Now, when you view Patmos from that place, you know, it is such beauty. That beauty is so much. Never ever you can hear the waters. You can hear the waters like, you know, sounds of trumpet. That's what the revelation tells you later on. Like sounds of trumpet. You can actually hear it so beautifully, so clearly, that water. And never ever you can see in that place, only you can see when a dawn or sunrise or dusk, yes, dawn or sunset, the reflection of the sun and the water is like glass and with fire. It's like that. Also, description is given in Revelation. That's why they mention it in here. It nowhere else they see, you can see this type except there, even now. But they say that nowhere else will people want to get out from that place than Patmos. Although it has got so much of scenic beauty, although it has got so much of resemblance, but nobody wants to stay in that island because it is such a frustrated island, especially for religious prisoners. So John went to this island on a purpose, because he was a political leader. He could have said, okay, and anyway, political, even today, the SIS, when they catch you, they'll ask you first thing, are you ready to renounce Jesus? If you're ready to renounce Jesus, okay, they'll give you not your freedom, but you have to join them, and whatever they do, they tell you, you have to do it. So the first thing is, are you ready to renounce Jesus? The same thing was then. Persecution for the Christians meant that they give you a choice. The Roman emperor gives you a choice. Leave Jesus and join our religion, which is paganism. But John said no. John did not. That is why he was after. And then after they tried him, putting him into oil, as we said before, that he survived that burning oil. He was alive. And then ultimately, being fed up of him, they put him into this island called Patmos. Now, John, because he was one of this of Jesus' apostles, and that too a beloved apostle, he is one of the people at that moment who saw Jesus face to face. Right? When we know each other so personally face to face, and when we know that we are, they have seen Jesus. They have seen Jesus. They have enjoyed his beauty. And they'll say, okay, kill me. All the apostles say, kill me, but do not take away my relationship with Jesus. All the apostles died except John. Everybody died by being martyred. Peter was one of the first ones, and he said, do not hang me on the cross like how Jesus died. Kill me the opposite way. I'm not worthy to die as Jesus died. But they gave themselves up to the Lord. They gave themselves. Those who know Jesus now will never be afraid. Even in this modern generation, there are people who are really, really, really in love with Jesus and do what may. They will say, come on, what about the martyrs this age? The martyrs, look at them. Some of them are young girls, 14 years old, virgins. They gave their life for Jesus. Why? Because they knew Jesus face to face. They knew Jesus close to close. The moment we have that relationship with Jesus, any one of us, I'm telling you, any one of us, if we have that relationship as good with Jesus, we are all ready to die. Today we are not afraid to die, because today we are afraid to die, we are afraid of persecutions, because our relationship with the Lord is not that close. It's not that close. Now take an example of a husband and wife, a really good, devoted husband and wife. Will a husband allow the wife to be killed? No. They will say, come on, kill us together. Or vice versa. But they will not allow somebody, one of them, to be killed. That's the love, that's the thing. Because you know each other. I'm talking about really genuine husband and wife. Nobody will if there was a choice, come on, I'm going to kill you. They say, no, you kill me first, or you kill both of us together. Right? So that is the sacrifice. The same thing happens when you know Jesus. When we know Jesus, we will say, forget it, I don't care about anything. I'm giving my life up to Jesus. Because there is no other reward, there is no other thing on earth that you can do without Jesus. Lot of people, not everybody whom the authorities gave a chance to change their religion said no. Some of them said, yes, we are going to change our religion. But then what must be the turmoil? It was better for them to die than to have sold Jesus. Who is that? Judas sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Right? Today, if you look into ourselves, each one of us are selling Jesus almost a few days late, with very small things as well. When we commit a sin against Jesus, we are selling Jesus. There's no doubt about it. Yeah, at least Judas took 30 pieces of silver. Sometimes we sell Jesus for a cup of tea. We don't know. Yeah, each one knows how it is, right? So being faithful to Jesus is a task. It's not easy, but that steadfast tribulation, the steadfast perseverance is what is important, even today. Right? Now, then he says, go to Revelation 1, 10 and 11. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice, like the sound of trumpet, saying, write what you see in a book and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. Now, these are the seven churches to whom John is writing this letter. John knew the seven churches very well because he was very famous in that area. And that is why, and these, as we've discussed in the past, these were not the only seven churches at that time. There were plenty more other churches around in the vicinity. But these were the seven main ones. And John knew that if he writes this letter to these seven churches, the others also would get it. Yeah, so that is why he was told to write to these seven churches. Now this is the first time we are hearing the word the Lord's Day. Okay? Many people confuse this with the day of the Lord. There is a difference between the Lord's Day and the day of the Lord. Now day of the Lord is mainly referred to as that last day, the day of the Lord, when the Lord will come down to take people up. That is the day of the Lord. That is the final day of the Lord, when the Lord will come down. But the Lord's Day is different. And this is the first time in the New Testament that the Lord's Day has been introduced or said. You know. Now, what is the Lord's Day? What do you think is the Lord's Day? Day of the Lord, I told you. What's the Lord's Day? Simple, we all do it. We all do Sunday.
Sabbath, yeah.
Sunday is the Lord's Day. In the Old Testament, Sabbath was Saturday, right? That was the day God completed his creation and rested. Okay? And until the time of Jesus.
Lord Jesus will support his day always. For me also.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
When I sleep now in the night and all, then I see in front of my eyes now Lord Jesus.
Yeah. Praise God. Yeah. That is such a beautiful thing. Jesus. Yeah. That's such a beautiful thing. That's a relationship.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you have come to that stage now,
yeah, correct,
when
yeah.
when you can see the Lord Jesus,
yeah,
but in your
Jesus,
this
yeah.
thing, you know. So now after that, you will have another mission to
yeah.
go closer to him, you know. That's the way the
yeah.
Lord works. The moment you are faithful to the Lord reveals
yeah.
in different ways.
Mm.
Okay. So now coming back to this part, the Lord's Day is, as we said, Saturday should be the Sabbath day, but once the resurrection of Jesus took place on Sunday, all the Christians started making Sunday as the first day. Now, there, for that also, that is a history. In the olden days, the emperors, you know, they had one day called, what is the day called? They had a day which was called Sebasti. It was dedicated to the emperor. A day in the week was dedicated to the emperor. So from that principle came this. The Christian said, our God rose up on, Jesus rose up on Sunday. So that's how they started Sunday as the day of worship. And slowly in the second century, that Sabbath day, early second century, that Sabbath day was taken away and replaced by Sunday, which is Jesus' day. So John was in the spirit on the Sunday. Now in the spirit, now John in the spirit is what? In the spirit is like, you know, you are in a trance. You are in ecstasy. Okay? You are in ecstasy. Suddenly, like, you know, you are moved out. You know, you don't know where. You are taken beyond the heavens and to the beyond. It's nothing like that. He's in a trance. He's in a trance. And God is showing him things that he should write down on his book. A vision so realistic. A vision that only he can see. A vision that he sees even during his hard times. He's in agony there. But in that agony, in that persecution, the Lord is raising him up on that first day and is showing him. John is in a trance. He is in the spirit. You know, whenever you are persecuted for the sake of God, God understands you. That's the time when you are the closest to the Lord. You may feel completely down. You may feel completely disabled. But that's the time you will feel the presence of the Lord most than any other cases. Forget the religious, the persecution. Even when, if you are a devout person, believing in God, even normal day-to-day pressures at your work or anywhere else, if you are so much in the Lord, that's the time when everybody deserts you. I mean, to say, okay, people say, I will pray. Then we don't know whether they pray or not. But you are alone. in that persecution of yours, whether it's a job, it's a relationship, it's something else, whatever it is, each one knows for where you are persecuted. That's the time, if you believe in the Lord, that's the time Jesus becomes real to you. Jesus becomes real to you.
Yeah.
That's the time. Until I lost my job, I didn't know who Jesus was. I knew who Jesus was, but I didn't have a personal relationship with him. But since 1998, I've got a personal relationship because I knew if it was not his hand, I would have been dead by now. But he saved me. He saved me to all the thing. Everybody, like I was like a man. My wife was giving me a lot of encouragement over the phone. But nothing was working. Because I was depressed. And depression is a dangerous sickness to have. Right? And only the Lord Jesus brought me out of it. And today I know. I thank the Lord for that those times that he used, that he gave me this persecution. Right, because of that time, today I am what I am. Like, you know, with the other ones, I don't know which devil would have been, you know, with me, and how many demons would be in me. That is the truth, and that is why, you know, whatever is your problem now I have lots of persecution even today, but I fear nothing. I fear nothing because I use the scriptures. When Jesus said, "Fear not," why I should say, like, you know, these are the special scriptures I love to take. When everything seems no good, you know, nothing is working, I said, "Lord, you said, fear not." I like those scriptures. That's the time I use this scripture very much. In another place, it says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in me or trust in me. Trust in God, trust also in me." I think it's John 14, yeah? 14:1. Yeah, trust in me and also trust in me. So these are the times when Jesus is saying that, why should I worry? Why should I worry? Another scripture which I love very much is, you know, when he says, when the father says, "Come to me as little children." Now this girl there, she has any problem? No, her father takes the problems, no? The burden is for the father. So God is telling us, "Come to me like little children." So why are we acting as adults with God? Can we do anything? No. Even our earthly father has got limitations, but he is our heavenly father. And he is inviting us to come to him, put all your burdens, cast your burdens unto me. But we are saying, "No, Lord, 5 kilo I'll keep with you and 10 kilos I'll keep with me." That's the way we relate to our God. And what can we do? We can do nothing. And then after some time, God is saying, see, God never forces. God says, "Okay, you want your 10 kilos? You're giving me only 5 kilos? Okay, fine. How much will you do?" God is saying, "Give me all your 15 kilos of persecution, of your burdens, and I will take care of it." But we are, you know, acting as God in our own. That is where we the word of God comes into power. How much of you do you know of the word of God? When you know the word of God, you care for nothing. You care for nothing. Now look, when things, what can happen worse than facing the Red Sea and Pharaoh behind? What can happen worse than that? Even today's situations come like that. When you know, you don't know, you're faced. What did God do with the Israel? Didn't he part the Red Sea?
Yes.
And if he's the same God yesterday, today, forever, won't he part the Red Sea for us today? It may not be a sea, but in your own life, it could be a big thing. And God will know. If he's a faithful God and our trust in him is so much, we have nothing to fear. We have nothing to fear. Yeah. Now you're looking at Brother Rocky. I always see we are praying so much for him, for his permanent citizenship, right? Now he has his own time. You got any more listening now? Yeah. No. He has got. See, God has got his own time. You think God is going to leave him like that? Who has created the sacrament of matrimony? God has created it. He knows that his family is elsewhere and he is elsewhere. You think that there is a specific time for all this? Now before during that parting of the Red Sea and all that stuff, the Israelites moved. No, for 40 years he moved. That 11 days journey took 40 years. So we should not be afraid of the time limit. What is our saying, "Lord, I don't care how you do it, but you do it for me because I'm your child. I have got married. You are my witness on that married altar. You are my witness. You are the third thing. And you have said that husband and wife and family should live together. So why won't you give me this? This is my confidence in you, Lord." So whichever, you know, however you will see, you will get your passport one day. Keep on persisting. And this is why you say all that, no? Continuous endurement. This is your way of being persecuted for some time. But you know that the result was going to happen. So you are taking the persecution, you are enduring, not like, you know, finish, I don't know what God is going to do. No, You're enduring, saying that God will give me my passport. He will make me, He will put me along with my family. Nothing more. I'm not listening to nothing else than that. But this is my confidence in my Lord, and He will do it. How He does it is His problem. What is impossible? You see, it's a Red Sea for you. If He parted the Red Sea that time, He will part the Red Sea this time. Mark my word for it. But your confidence should be strong. That's the way our God operates. He doesn't put us in trouble. He is there for us. It's our faith. That's what He said. Put your faith like a little mustard seed, and I will move mountains for you. You can move mountains in my name. Yeah? Oh, it's already time, 4:28. So anyway, we go home today with one thing. Right? Remember that whatever your problems are, whatever persecutions are, be steadfast. Be steadfast, because the Bible, the Revelation itself said, and remember these three words. What is it? Persecution, patient endurance, and the kingdom. You have persecution. Nobody, if you are not persecuted, that means you already belong to the devil. Okay? He will not persecute you much. If you belong to the God, He will persecute you day and night. Then use your endurance power. Endure with victory in mind. Don't endure like a timid people. You endure with power. And then the kingdom of heaven is yours. Not necessarily there. Here itself, whatever you're fighting for, whatever you're looking for, will be given to you by this process. Okay? So we go back today with this in mind, what the Lord has taught us. Whatever trials and tribulations are, it's the Lord who fights our battles. And He is the same God yesterday, today, forever, who will never forsake us. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Abba Father, for your message for us today, Lord. I know, Father, your heart cries out when we don't trust you. Today, Father, we ask, pour out your Holy Spirit mightily upon us, Lord. More and more of your Holy Spirit, Lord, so that your Holy Spirit can convict us, Lord, and show us who you truly are, a God of love, mercy, and compassion, a God who never forsakes, a just God. Thank you, sweet loving Jesus, for it is your revelation to John that John is relating to us. And you wanted him to relate these matters so that we may have confidence in you as the Son of the living God, who has given yourself up totally and has gained the victory which you are giving to each one of us right when we are now here today, Lord. And sweet Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you once again for all that you do to make us understand your word, Lord. Now, Lord, as you have made us understand, you have sown the seed, Lord. Help us to dwell on it, Lord. Help us to dwell on it. Let that seed grow in each one of us, Lord God, so that our confidence level will grow, Lord God. And so that come what may, Lord, we will be able to stand persecution, Lord. We will endure, Lord God, till we get the kingdom, Lord God. Lord, we once again pray a blessing upon our team going to the hospital, Lord. Lord, your word heals everyone, Lord. Help them to speak your word, Lord God, which will cast away their disease completely and totally, Lord God. You are the same God yesterday, today, and forever, Lord God, who heals, Lord God. Let this team, Lord God, as they go, touch the hearts of the patients, Lord God, and let every patient, Lord, get up from the sick bed and go walking, glorifying you and you alone, Lord. And the rest of us, Lord God, who are going home, bless our vehicles, Lord God. Protect us from the snares of accidents, Lord God. Lord, help us to always meditate on your word, Lord God, so that your word will bring a tremendous internal change in us, Lord God, and we will not be the same people, but we will be glorified people in you, Lord. Mother Mary, continue to be with us, guide us, bless us, protect us, and keep us under your mantle of blue now and always. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Jesus is Lord.
Now and forever.
Now and forever.
Jesus is Lord.
The only way, the truth, and the light, Lord. We, all your children, Lord, desire to follow you. As we all the children agree and say,
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, brothers and sisters. We see you next week, and you have a great trip back home. Enjoy seeing the Lord in your daily practicing and grow in the Lord.
Yeah.
We are blessed to have you, sister. And take care.
I say so much prayer at home at all. Yes. I'm alone in the house.
Okay.
So many prayer, morning, afternoon, night, and every day I go to church.
Okay.
Yeah, every day I go to church and say so many prayers and all.
Praise God.
So Lord Jesus, full support is there.
Amen. Yeah. So pray for us also, now that you know us.
Okay. Yeah.
Good, good, good. And we'll also pray for you, okay?
Yeah,
now that you know. Okay, praise
you.
God.
Yeah,
and see you next time when you come here.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
God bless, God bless.